Hi, my friends. It is Mrs. Ferguson, your story lady, with the very first of the stories I promised you, and it is the story that I promised I would tell one day about the boy and the sea monsters and the very first crabs. This story comes to us from the indigenous peoples on the West Coast. But I'm going to change it just a little from the way I heard it. I heard it first in a book called Once Upon a Totem by Christy Harris. Here's the story. There was once a village of Native peoples who lived on the coast of BC up north. And they lived in a little cove, which was like a little moon-shaped bay. And there was a channel, the narrow edge of that moon, where hunters could go out in their big canoes to hunt for sea animals and big fish. And that was what people in the village ate, because the village was surrounded by cliffs. And on top of the cliffs, if you could climb them, which was really, really hard, there was rainforest, and it was really dense and like a jungle. And so mostly the people lived on the shore, and they went out in their canoes and they fished, and that was how they lived until the day that a giant crab began to live right in the narrowest part of their channel. And when the hunters tried to go out, the crab started reaching for them with its pincers. And some people got hurt and some canoes got destroyed, but there was no way around the crab. And so only very small fish could come into the bay, and that's all the people had to eat, and it was a huge, huge problem. Now, there was a little boy who lived in this village, and this little boy, he had big dreams. He had big ideas. Now, he wasn't brave all the time. The other boys would climb up the cliffs and he would be afraid to climb them, and they would laugh at him, call him names. So mostly he went off by himself, and he'd sit on this big rock overlooking the water, and he would think, how could we do this? How could we capture that crab or make it go away? And he came up with lots of ideas, but they always needed way too many things that nobody could get, or way too many people. They were really just a boy making up stories about how to solve a really big problem. One day, when people were getting quite worried because they were stuck in this little cove and they didn't really have enough food, the boy sat on the rock thinking and dreaming, and he lay back. He was looking up at the sky and at the clouds and just wondering and thinking thoughts when this huge shadow went by between him and the sun. And he kind of looked up, but he started to think, what could that be? And what it could be was one of the thunderbirds, mighty spirits who sometimes asked you, helped you if you asked, but he didn't know how to ask, and he thought maybe you'd have to be really brave to talk to a thunderbird, and he wasn't sure he was brave enough. But as he watched, the big shadow came back, and he could see this time it was an eagle, a huge eagle, the biggest eagle he'd ever seen. And in its claws, it held a huge halibut. And the boy was really excited, because if he could get that halibut, there would be enough food for a lot of the people in his village. It was going to be a really big, good thing to do. And as he hoped, the eagle swooped down and the boy covered his hand with his hands. And when he looked up again, the halibut was flopping beside him, not quite alive and not quite dead. And the boy knew he would have to kill the halibut so that his people could eat. But he didn't think he was brave enough at all. So it took him a long time, but the eagle had brought the halibut to him, and it was his job to make sure his people had food. And so he took a club, big stick, and he closed his eyes and he brought the stick down hard and the fish stopped moving. Now, what the boy was thinking was, I must carry this heavy halibut all the way to the village and people will be so excited. But even while he was thinking that, his hand was doing something else. His hand was reaching into his belt and pulling out his knife. Now, it wasn't a knife like you or I would have. This knife was a stick with a seashell, a mussel shell, tied to the end of it. And the mussel shell, the edge of the shell, was really, really sharp. Before the boy knew what he was doing, because he really wasn't thinking about it, he used the mussel shell and he started to take the skin away from the rest of the fish. He slid his knife in under the skin and it all came off in one piece, as easy as peeling an orange, if it's a really easy to peel orange. And so he stood there and now he had in his hands the skin of the halibut. And he thought, I don't know what to do with this. I don't even know what's happening to me. That halibut was big and strong, and it could swim wherever it wanted to go. I wish I were a halibut. And as he thought it, the halibut skin slipped over his head, and the boy slipped into the halibut body. And the boy became a halibut, flopping on the rock, and he flopped his way down into the water and began to swim. And can you imagine how he felt? Not having arms or legs, but having this strong, strong body that moved through the water. He wondered, how far could he go? He thought of the crab, but the crab was huge and he was a halibut. And even a very big halibut is not big compared to a monster crab. And so he decided he was brave enough to try and get past the crab and out into the ocean. And then he could explore because no one had been there for weeks and weeks. And maybe he would find a solution to his tribe's problem. Or maybe he would just enjoy life swimming in the ocean and seeing things he'd never seen before. So he went really close to the edge of the channel, and he waited until he saw the crab had moved away a little, and he darted as quick as he could through that channel, and he heard the snap of the pincers behind him. But he was out. He was in open water. He was free. He was so excited. He was doing a little happy dance with his fish body. And then he started to swim as fast as he could go because it was so big and so free and he was so excited and he hardly noticed the huge gaping mouth in front of him until it was too late. And he was already being pulled into the mouth of the biggest whale he had ever imagined. He got pulled all the way into the whale. But huge whales like that don't have teeth. So he just swam down into the innards of the whale. And he thought, oh no, there's no way to get out. The whale has already closed its mouth. I don't know what to do. I'm a fish. I don't know how to get out of a whale. I've never been a fish before. And then he thought, I am a fish with the brain of a boy. I wish I were a boy. And suddenly, he was a boy again. He was a boy standing inside the whale holding his mussel shell knife. And so he started to stab at the inside of the whale, hoping that the whale would open its mouth and he could wish himself into his halibut body and swim away. But that's not what happened. He hardly cut the whale at all, and the whale gave a great loud cry and died. And just before he closed his mouth forever, the boy thought, quick as a wink, I wish I were a halibut. And he darted out just as the whale's mouth was closing. And then he was exhausted. And so he just kind of swam along and floated. And the body of the whale was floating. And somehow the boy knew he had to stay close to the whale. So when the whale washed up on the shore, the boy said, "I wish I were a boy again." And he climbed up onto the shore next to the body of this gigantic whale. Now, you would think there would be nothing you could do on a deserted island with a giant dead whale. I would think that. Even the boy think that. But the boy's hand didn't think that. The boy pulled his knife out and he began to take the skin off the whale. And much faster than you would think was possible for a little boy with a little knife. The whale's skin became loose and then it came separate. And then the boy thought, "I wish I were a whale." And he was. And he made his way back into the water, and wow, it's different when you are mighty and powerful and huge, and you know in your whale body you could go anywhere in the oceans of the world, see anything, meet new creatures, and you needn't be afraid of anything because you're so big and so strong. And the boy thought about all the things he could do and all the places he could visit. And then he knew he had just one job. And that job was to take his mighty whale body back to the little channel and face the crab monster. So that's what he did. He swam back and the crab came out to meet him. And they had a mighty battle in the channel. And there were waves going up on shore and splashing everything. And under the water, the crab would wrap its pincers into the whale's flesh. And it really hurt. But the whale was brave. And he would bash the crab, trying to bash it against the side of the channel. Time went by. And the boy knew that the whale was going to lose this fight. The whale needed a boy's brain. And so the boy, in his whale body, used his boy brain, and he thought hard, and he remembered that there was a ridge under the water, a pointy place that was really sharp. And he knew if he could get the crab to press down onto that ridge, then the crab would be destroyed and his people would be saved. So he maneuvered the fight until the crab was just over the ridge. And then he let the crab wrap its pincers around him, and it hurt so much. But instead of trying to run away, he pushed his skin so it was as big and big and big as it could be, and the crab was using so much force against the skin of the whale, and the boy thought, "I wish I were a halibut." And the whale vanished, and the crab's claws collapsed in on itself and pushed the crab down on the sharp peak, the sharp ridge, and its shell shattered into 1,000 pieces. And the boy, who was now a very tired and bruised halibut, swam up, gave one leap out of the water and landed on the rock and became a boy again. When he finally opened his eyes, it was to the sound of celebrations, because off in the village, people were celebrating the mighty battle between the whale and the crab and the freedom that they now had, and the hunters were already getting ready to go out again in their canoes. "You missed it all," they said, "you missed it." And the boy didn't know how to explain. He hadn't missed it at all. He was so happy and so grateful to the Thunderbirds for helping him be a boy who was a halibut, who became a mighty whale. The story isn't quite over yet, because the very next day, all the boys went out to play on the beach. Now that the beach was free, now that the village was free, and they were playing all sorts of games and running in and out the edge of the water. And as the boy ran, suddenly there was this sharp prick on his toes, and he looked down, and the tiny crab had just reached out its pincer to get his toe. He picked it up. He held it carefully by the big shell in the middle so it couldn't pinch him. And he looked at it, and it was exactly like the big crab, but it was just the size of his hand. And all over the beach, he heard the noises as the boys ran up to crabs and the crabs ran up to boys and pinched at them. And eventually, people realized that those crabs could also make good food for them. And so the monster who had threatened to starve them became part of what they ate and part of how they played on the beach. And that's the story of the very first crabs and the boy and the sea monsters. Now I wonder if you'd like to take a minute and imagine. And you know how we imagine. We sit quietly and we start noticing our breath coming in and out and making our mind a clear space where interesting new thoughts will be able to come. Sometimes it helps to blow on your finger as though it were a candle and you were blowing it so gently that the flame would move back and forth but not go out. And when your mind is quiet, you can imagine you're going for a walk and you're walking outside and you're walking through a big field, but you're on a path. And I want you to look at the path under your feet and see what it's made of. I want you to look at what's around you in the field. And at the edge of the field, there's a gate. And the gate goes into the woods. I want you to go to the woods and walk in through the woods and notice the sounds of the animals in the trees and in the leaves on the ground and the sound of the birds. And the smell of the wood and the way the sun comes down through the leaves. And as you notice all that, I want you to come to the biggest tree you've ever seen. The trunk is huge, but the branches reach down low. And here's the funny thing about the branches. They're covered with bags and tote bags and backpacks because this is the trouble tree. Before you go any further, I want you to look and see, are you carrying any troubles today? Just put your troubles on the trouble tree and let the trouble tree hold them for you. And then take a few steps forward past the trouble tree to your very own gate, to your very own garden. And notice what the gate looks like and what it feels like under your hand as you pull it open. And notice your garden is fresh and beautiful. There's grass and trees and flowers and plants. You might even see a building off in the distance. But today you want to go to the beach. So I want you to find the path that leads through your garden and down to the beach. And when you get there, the sand is thick and soft. And the waves are coming in just gently and you hear them lapping against the shore. And I want you to take off your shoes and socks and run down and dip your toes in the water and feel that it's cold and splashes on your feet, but it's still kind of fun. And now, because it's your garden and because everything in your garden is safe for you, I want you to think of a kind of fish, a tiny fish, a fish like Nemo or Dory, a fish you might see in an aquarium. And I want you to wish to be that fish. And in the body of that fish, I want you to squirm on the waves until the waves carry you out into the water. And I want you to dart in the water quick and sharp like a little fish does. You know, and maybe you'll see other fishes, and maybe you'll see plants, but I want you to notice, how does it all look under the water? How does it look for you to be looking at all of these things that live under the water, the plants and the little fish and the little creatures that crawl on the bottom of the water? And when you have had fun being little, wish yourself into a bigger animal and start moving as that bigger animal. Start seeing what it's like to be a bigger fish. Maybe you want to be a dolphin so that you can jump out of the water and play. Maybe you'd like to be a shark and see how very fast and sleek you can be as you move through the water and notice all the other fish moving away from you. Maybe you'd like to be a whale and notice what it's like to swim with a family of whales. Whatever you want, you can have. So think about what you would like to be and be that under the water. You can go as deep as you like, because nothing can hurt you because it's your garden. You can explore for as long as you like. You can feel all the different feelings in your body. You can see plants through all different eyes. But when it's time to be a person again, then you need to swim back. And you need to swim into a littler body so you can swim right up to the edge of the water and think, I wish I was myself. And come back into your shape. And in your shape, dry off your feet with your socks and put your socks and your shoes back on. Find your way up to the path. Find your way to your garden gate. And as you open your garden gate, I want you to look back at your garden and think about what a wonderful place it is, and just say thank you to your garden, because you know your garden is always here and it's always safe and it's always just for you. And then when you're ready, close the gate behind you. Take a few more steps. One more deep breath. And come all the way back. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it would be really fun to draw a picture of the battle of the whale and the crab. Because I think if you're a good artist, you could make a really cool, scary picture of what it's like for those two sea monsters to have that big battle under the water. And if you're not a good artist, I think crabs and whales are a good place to start, because I'm not a great drawer and I can draw those things. So my challenge for you today is to get some paper and whatever you like to draw with, pencil crayons, maybe markers, but I think probably pencil crayons or crayons will be best, because you're gonna have to make the sea monsters really big and really scary. But I want you to do something special. Before you make the sea monsters, before you make the body of the whale, I want you to draw a tiny little light. And that light will remind you that that whale that was having that mighty battle had the brain of a little boy. And that little light was enough to make the difference. And you have that little light too. So put the little light in the whale, put the whale wrapped up in its battle with the crab, and see what kind of a wonderful picture you can make today. And in a day or two, I'll be back.